الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: في الجنة ثمانية أبواب، منها باب يسمى الريان لا يدخله إلا الصائمون. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. علماء اكرام، most respected elders, brothers and sisters who might be listening over the receivers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After the 15th night of Shaban, then it is only death or Ramadan. In other words, if a person doesn't get death, then the person is blessed with the month of Ramadan. And Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam himself, the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they would pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they get the month of Ramadan. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. O Allah, extend our life so that we might see the month of Ramadan. Because if we understand and appreciate the virtues of this month, then a person would long to experience the month. And therefore it is very important for us to start building up our capacity and understand and increase our knowledge with regards to the virtues of this great month. We have to start prepared. If a person doesn't know the virtue of something, then he's not going to look forward to it. It's just going to be one of those months in which a person fasts, like our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Almost every Ramadan he used to give an example, and he used to say that there was a Maulana who went to a particular village, and he told them before the month of Ramadan that Ramadan is coming. So they said, they also were simple people, they didn't understand what it meant. So they said, what will happen then when he comes? So he said, then you have to keep away from food and drink. You can't eat during the day. So they got worried. So they asked, where will he come from? So he pointed towards the direction of the west where the moon is sighted, and he said, he's going to come from there. He said, when is he going to come? He's going to come on this particular date, 29th of Shaban. He's going to come on this date. So they said, okay. Now that Maulana, he delivered his lecture and his bayan, and he was gone. But these people on the 29th, they went to the western horizon, and they were waiting now for Ramadan. And they saw a person coming on horseback or camelback, and they asked him, what's your name? So he said, Ramadan Ali. So when they said his name is Ramadan Ali, then they gave him a good bashing from there, and they sent him off, that this is the same Ramadan. So after Ramadan, when the Maulana came back to the village, he said, how did you people fast and all that? He said, Ramadan was coming, we didn't let him come. We chased him off and he was gone. So we didn't really fast in that month of Ramadan. But that is for people who don't understand the virtues of the great month. But if you understand the virtue of the great month, then there is nothing like it. The Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the pious predecessors, they would long that the entire year was the month of Ramadan. The So therefore, I felt that it's important for us to discuss some of the virtues of the month of Ramadan and what we ought to be doing from now. Because there's hardly not even two weeks. There's just about 10 days to go until, or 10 or 11 days to go until the first Taraweeh. So we have to change our lives. We have to program ourselves to do. And it's not that we can't do. There's a lot that can be done, provided we program ourselves. There was a person who came to the majlis of Harun al-Rashid, and he came to his court. Harun al-Rashid was a king. And he came to his court and he put a needle in the ground, and from a distance he took a thread, and he threw that thread and it went through the eye of the needle. So the court, everyone in the court and Harun al-Rashid, they were astonished. People like us, and especially the men folk, you can try and, in your hand if it's there, and 10 times you try and put it in, it won't, maybe on the 11th time it'll go through. But this person, he came to the court, he put the needle in the ground, and from a distance he threw the thread and it went through the eye of the needle. And it's not a fairy tale, it really happened. So Harun al-Rashid, he said to him that, he told his courtiers that, you know what, give this person so many gifts, and also give him 10 boots. Because he wasted his time in something that was futile. What did he really achieve by doing that? But the point that I want to get across is that if a person practices and he programs himself, then there's no limits to what he can achieve. People go across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Just on a rope, they walk across the Niagara Falls. I met a person now recently. He was from America. I met him in Dubai. So he told me, Maulana, I did the skydiving. So he said that, you know, for 30 or 40 seconds, you do whatever you want to do. You jump off an aeroplane and there's a parachute on your back, but you don't take out the parachute. For 30 to 40 seconds, it's just a free fall down. You somersault and you do whatever you want to. And he said it was amazing. I said, then after that 30 seconds, what you do? He said, then you pull the parachute and you come down comfortably. I said, if the parachute doesn't come down, come up. He said, then it's another 30 second ride all the way down. So amazing things people can achieve. Amazing feats people can achieve. They can do bungee jumping from the Victoria Falls, from the Blokrans Bridge. Such amazing things we can achieve if you only program yourself. This himmat, Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, he says that this himmat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, the ability to achieve things, it is like elastic. No matter, it depends on how much you pull it. So if you program yourself adequately and correctly and sufficiently for the month of Ramadan, then there's no limit to what we are able to achieve. There is, and that is how the pious predecessors in the past, and not only in the past, because when we say pious predecessors, many people feel that those people are gone and now we are weak and it's time for us to relax. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the same amount of himmat. But we are what you call in Urdu, himmat chor. Himmat chor. We steal. We don't allow ourselves to capitalize and use the full capacity that is within us. We don't allow ourselves to do it. Our Hazrat, he used to say, it's like the buffalo, that when that buffalo is, when it's milking milk, the owner of the buffalo is milking the milk, like in India, in Pakistan, then that buffalo, it holds back a little bit of the milk for its own little calf. So like that, we don't exploit all the himmat that is there within ourselves. And if we exploit it and we use it, it's to our benefit. And if we don't, then it's to our detriment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us examples in the past where the pious predecessors, they would not allow the month of Ramadan to go by without exploiting it. Because one of the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he descended from the minbar. On one step he said Ameen, on the next step he said Ameen, and the following step he said Ameen. And we hear these ahadith year in and year out, but it's for us to take lesson. So the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked him, Ya Rasulullah, you know, why did you say Ameen? He said, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam, on each step he came and gave me three du'as, and I said Ameen to those du'as. And I said, one of the du'as were, that woe be unto the one, in other words, may he be destroyed and annihilated, and may he have no bliss in life, who is blessed with the month of Ramadan, and yet is not forgiven in this month of Ramadan. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Man hurima khayraha faqad hurim. The person who has been deprived of the goodness of the month of Ramadan, then he has been deprived of all sort of goodness. So it's important for us to appreciate these things. Nevertheless, one Urdu poet, he says in a beautiful verse of Urdu poetry, and perhaps we should center the rest of the discussion around that. He says that Bahar taqwa ki aa gayi hai, gunah ka mausam guzar chuka hai. Bahar taqwa ki aa gayi hai, gunah ka mausam guzar chuka hai. Zahe muqaddar mahe mubarak mein har musalma savar chuka hai. Buri majalis mein ab na jayenge, nek sohbat mein hum rahenge. Ke badgumani se badnigahi se jhoot ghibat se hum bachenge. Aur ab jamaat se sab namazon ko ja ke masjid mein hum padhenge. Jo ahd humne kiya hai Allah se, ay asar is pe mar mitenge. Use ho kya ikhtiyar khud par, farokht khud ko jo kar chuka hai. Bahar taqwa ki aa gayi hai, gunah ka mausam guzar chuka hai. Zahe muqaddar mahe mubarak mein har musalma savar chuka hai. He says, Bahar taqwa ki aa gayi hai. That the season of taqwa has come. The season of taqwa has come. It's no time to engage in anything but taqwa. Taqwa is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to abstain from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited or asked us to keep away from. So that season has come. It's that time of the year, and for a Muslim it's supposed to be that time of the year all along. But now at least, because the purpose of fasting was what? The purpose of fasting was not only to keep away from food and drink for the day. It was لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. It was so that we might develop a sense of Allah consciousness. And how does it happen? You know, there are so many examples to show how fasting develops Allah consciousness. How does it happen? Look at little children who are fasting. 4 years old, 5 years old, and no one is saying we must make it. It's not obligatory for them to fast. But if they're fasting out of their own volition and they encourage to fast, then we must encourage them also to keep the fast, but don't force them to keep the fast. But even that little child who is 4 or 5 years old, and he or she is fasting, and he or she is hungry during the course of the day, they might be alone in their rooms, or it might be close to the time of iftar, and mummy may even tell them that, you know what, beta or beti, that have a sip of water, it doesn't matter. They will say, no, I can't. And why can't they? Because they also realize that the fast won't be kept. And even if they are alone in the bathroom, they will dare have a sip of water because they don't want. They know, and that level of consciousness is developed within them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. So can you see how fasting develops that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi, I cannot remember a Ramadan in which he did not mention this particular example. And perhaps Ramadan wouldn't have gone by even until he mentioned this example. And the example was that, let us assume that the tablecloth is laid out, it's the time of iftar, and on one side of the table everything is there. The samosas and the bhajiyas, and don't forget the haleem. Everything is there. And on one side of the dastarkhan, We have a person who is not that conscious out of Ramadan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He happens to be fasting on that particular day. But he is not, as we would say, a religious person or religiously conscious person. He is not one of those people. But he happens to be fasting on that day. And right across him, there is the mufti of the land that is there. And let us assume that there's about 4 or 5 minutes to go until the muazzin can call the azan. And if this mufti of the land, the grand mufti, if he has to tell the person who is across him that, you know what, there's only 5 minutes to go, you can go ahead and break your fast. You've already felt the pangs of hunger that the poor feel, and that's one of the wisdoms behind fasting. And you know what, you've abstained from food and drink for the entire day. So you've achieved a lot. You know, why don't you go ahead and break it? So that person who is otherwise not a religious person, he will not succumb to the pressure that even this great mufti is putting him under. He won't succumb to that pressure. What will he say? He says, I can't break my fast now. And if that person puts more pressure and says, you know what, I'm the mufti, I am telling you to go ahead and break your fast. He says, whoever you are, I cannot break my fast now. And if you have to ask him that, you know, why can't you break your fast now? What will he say? He'll say, because it is the command of my Allah that I break it 3 minutes or 5 minutes later when the muazzin calls the azan. Because it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I cannot break my fast earlier. So is it not also the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we pray 5 times a day for the menfolk in the masjid? Is it not the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't lie, we don't deceive, we don't cheat? Is it not the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't get engaged in interest-bearing transactions? Is it not the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't engage in illicit relationships? All of this, fasting is teaching us this level of Allah consciousness. Jo karta hai to chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. Jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. That which we do hiding from the people of the world, thinking that no one is watching us, then fasting is there to develop that consciousness, that there is someone who is watching us all of the time. There isn't a moment of time in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not watching us. And fasting brings up and develops that sort of Allah consciousness. So he says, Bahar taqwa ki aa gayi hai. Gunah ka mausam guzar chuka hai. The time of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the time of negligence, the time of heedlessness, that has gone by. It is now time to turn a new leaf in our lives. Zahe muqaddar mahe mubarak mein har musalma savar chuka hai. And look at how wonderful it is. It just seems as though through the barakat of this month, every Muslim seems to have mended his ways. Everyone seems to have mended his ways. They're running from, you're finishing at Maghrib and you're going home and you're quickly having a bite. And after a long day's fast, you're standing again for 20 rakats of Taraweeh. And everyone is doing it. Zahe muqaddar mahe mubarak mein har musalma savar chuka hai. A person is keeping away from things that are halal for him to do during the fast. Otherwise, it's halal for a person to eat. It's halal for a person to drink. So he's keeping away from things that are halal. So doesn't it then drive home the message that how important is it for this Muslim and the believer to keep away from things that are haram for him to engage in? But then He says that we must start preparing. Like we said, program ourselves. Have some sort of goals that we want to achieve during the month of Ramadan and start preparing from that from now. So he says that what should we be doing? He says, Buri majalis mein ab na jayenge. Buri majalis mein ab na jayenge. Nek sohbat mein hum rahenge. That we're not going to adhere and stay in bad company now. There's just a few days left. We want to program ourselves. We want to achieve the most of this month, so we're not going to stay in bad company. In company that is going to take us away from us fulfilling the objectives of the month of Ramadan. We don't want to do that. And nowadays you get real company and you get what is known as e-company. E-company means electronic company. Company on Twitter. Company on emails. Company on Facebook. Because those are the things that take us away then. Even sometimes, if we don't have to be on these things for these moments, or we can limit it to the extent of necessity, then let's do that. But don't just go through your phones looking at people's profile pictures. Because you might find a profile picture then that you get attracted to and you cannot disregard anymore. Buri majalis mein ab na jayenge. Nek sohbat mein hum rahenge. And we're going to spend our time in good company, in pious company. Not only in the remaining days of the month of Shaban, but even more so during the month of Ramadan. Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say that fasting was for taqwa. And keeping the company of the pious was also for taqwa. So if during the month of Ramadan, a person is already fasting, if he adheres to good and pious company, then it's as though he has put a double engine on his body, and it'll be far easier for him to achieve his goal of taqwa, if he adheres to good company during this month of Ramadan. Buri majalis mein ab na jayenge, nek sohbat mein hum rahenge. Ke bad gumani se bad nigahi, se jhoot ghibat se hum bachenge. Ke we're going to keep away from all types of sins, thinking evil of another person. Sometimes, you know, our whole heart is consumed by just entertaining ill thoughts about our Muslim brother. Sometimes husbands are entertaining ill thoughts about their wives without any sort of proof. And sometimes wives entertain ill thoughts about their husbands without any sort of proof. And sometimes it is that brothers are entertaining ill thoughts about each other. And sometimes it's members in the community that are entertaining ill thoughts. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told the Sahabi that, oh my Sahabi, if you are able to spend the morning and evening in a condition that you don't have any ill thoughts, any filth, any dirt in your heart about your Muslim brother, فَفْعَلْ, then go ahead and do so, فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِ, because that is what I do. I make sure in the morning and the evening that my heart is also clean. Ke badgumani. We don't have badgumani. We don't have... Our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say, to have a good thought about someone, you don't need any proof for that. And you're not going to be questioned about that on the day of Qiyamah. But to have an ill thought about someone, it is a spiritual malady and you need proof for that. And you're going to be questioned about it. That why did you have that ill thought? So, ke bad gumani se bad nigahi. And bad nigahi means to protect our eyes, which seems to be the scourge in our communities. No one can protect their eyes from evils, from vices. And people think that, you know what, Maulanas, they only talk about this, they got no feelings. One Urdu poet, he says, humko bhi ghoor ghoor ke aata hai dekhna. Humko bhi ghoor ghoor ke aata hai dekhna. But se nazar bachate hai hum jaan boojh kar. He said, everyone has got feelings. Everyone knows how to cast a lustful glance at someone else. But it is all about having the intention not to look at evil. And this is something that wipes off our good deeds. You look at something that's haram, all the noor that you've accumulated, it all goes out. Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib, they were in Jeddah, and Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, he says that I was in the car, it was 50 degrees or whatever it was in summer. Summer days are really hot there. It goes up to 50, it's not unusual. And he says the air conditioner was blowing. The air conditioner was blowing. But the car was not getting cool. And Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib asked, that just see, it seems as though someone's window is open. So they looked around the car and one of the windows were open. They closed the window and the car became cool. So that's a normal occurrence for us. And we hardly take lessons from these things. But Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib, he took a lesson from that. He said, look, the air conditioner was doing its job. It was cooling the vehicle. But because one of the windows were open, it was not allowing the car to get cold. So the good deeds that we do, the fasting that we do, the tarawih that we perform, the salah that we make, the zikr that we make, the du'as, it's trying to cool our hearts. It's trying to bring us that tranquility, that happiness, that serenity, that satisfaction, that contentment in our life. It's trying to do all of that. But if we're going to allow the effects of that to escape through the windows of our eyes, or we are going to allow the effects of that to escape through the windows of our ears, or the windows of our mouths, then how are we going to achieve that bliss and that happiness that is promised through all these ibadat? So it is one thing to fulfill all the ibadat, but it is absolutely incumbent upon us to keep away from vices and sins and evils. And this becomes easier if we adopt the right company. Ke badgumani se badnigahi se jhoot ghibat se hum bachenge. And we're not going to spend our time in frivolous activities, in futile activities, futilities. There'll be talk shows in the month of Ramadan when the time of Eid comes, then there's going to be fairs. Because now you must start spending, you know, you must start preparing for Eid. And those, that time goes away. Big nights are spent in Eid Milan fairs, Eid Milan parties. If we have to prepare for Eid, let us do it in the days that we have now, so that we don't waste the time that is there. Sometimes we just chit-chatting. So we say that what you're doing, passing time. So Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that time is going to pass. But if we carry on like that, we might fail. Time will pass, but we have to, we mustn't fail. Aur ab jamaat se sab namazon ko ja ke masjid mein hum padhenge. And now we're going to go make sure that we perform all our salah with jamaat in the masjid. That's an important, the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is that a Muslim performs salah. And a man in the masjid. The first thing that we're going to be asked about on the day of Qiyamah is our salah. That's the first thing we're going to be asked about on the day of Qiyamah. And as-salatu imaduddin, man aqamaha faqad aqamaddin, wa man hadamaha faqad hadamaddin. Salah is a pillar of deen. If a person establishes it, he's established deen. And if he destroys it, he has destroyed deen. And yet, if we have to analyze our lives, how much of salah is missing from our lives? How much of salah? It's the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. In some ahadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that a person who misses out one salah intentionally, faqad kafar, he has committed an act of disbelief. Can you imagine? He's out of the pale of Islam. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi gave some sort of explanation to the hadith. Otherwise, the other three imams say that the person is out of the pale of Islam. The person who misses out one salah intentionally. And we'll be going for Umrah and we'll be missing our salahs. And we'll be returning from Umrah and we'll be missing our salahs. It's not difficult to stand up in the aircraft and face the Qibla and perform salah. You can do it. So long as you don't interfere with the service, you ask, you go to an appropriate spot. No one is saying we must be, you must disturb everyone and perform. But where there is a will, there is a way to achieve that will as well. Aur ab jamaat se sab namazon ko ja ke masjid mein hum padhenge. So we're going to do this so that we can start preparing for the month of Ramadan. And then he says that jo ahd kiya hai humne Allah se, ay asar us pe mar mitenge. That this covenant that we have taken with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to sacrifice everything to fulfill that covenant. And what is that covenant? The covenant is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us. In alam e barzakh, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, before we were even born, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, he says, I remember that covenant. When Allah ta'ala says, Alastu bi rabbikum, qalu bala. When Allah ta'ala said, that am I not your Lord? And every single soul said, yes, indeed you are our Lord. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that yes. So, that covenant, which we, when we said Allah, that you are our Lord, what did it mean? It didn't only mean that, oh Allah, you are our Lord, but we're going to do what we please. We're going to do whatever we want to. It meant that we're going to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It meant that we are going to adhere to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi. It meant all of these things. Like when a person, he's getting married in the masjid, then even before the imam, the new dula or the groom, even if the before the imam sometimes is so excited, right? Even before the imam can say nakahtuha, he says nakahtuha. Even before the imam can say, you know, say qabiltuha, he is already saying it. The imam is saying it afterwards. So he's so excited in saying it. And then when he goes home, and if his wife says, now I need roti kapra makan, I need clothing, I need food, I need a house, shelter over my head, he can't tell that wife that, you know what, I didn't say to the Maulana any of these things, I only said nakahtuha. That's the only thing I said. When you said nakahtuha, it meant all of these things. It's a package. When we said qalu bala, when we said that Allah is our Lord, then it meant that we're going to obey Him. It's a covenant that we've taken with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jo ahad kiya hai humne Allah se, ay asar us pe mar mitenge. We're going to sacrifice everything to fulfill that covenant. And He says, usse ho kya ikhtiyar khud par, farokht khud ko jo kar chuka hai. What volition, what control can a person have over himself who has sold himself over to someone else? A person who has sold himself over to someone else, then he has no control over himself any longer. He doesn't have any control over himself. We as Muslims and believers have sold ourselves over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to do what He tells us to do. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi, if I'm not mistaken, it was him. He bought a slave and he brought that slave home. And he asked the slave that, oh slave, you know, what would you prefer to eat? So he said a slave, he spent a whole money to buy that slave. And he says a slave has got no particular preference of anything to eat. Whatever the master feeds him with, that is what he will eat. And he said to him that, what would you prefer to wear? He says a slave has got no preference to wear anything. Whatever the master gives him to wear, he has to wear that. He said, okay, at least tell me what is your name. He says a slave has got no name. Whatever the master calls him by is his name. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi freed the slave immediately. So he said to him that, you know what, you spent money and you bought me, and I've hardly started serving you, and you're already freeing me. What's the story? He says, you have taught me what it is to be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have taught me what it is to be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you don't complain of Him, that you obey Him, that you are happy with the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps you in. One day, Hazrat Abu Bakr, who was radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was from amongst the ru'asa of Makkah, the wealthy of Makkah, but a time came when he used to spend so much on deen and Islam that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had to tie his clothing. He had a piece of cloth on top and it was tied with the thorns of some plant. That was the buttons. A wealthy person of Makkah. And as a Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said to him, oh, Ya Rasulullah, who is this person? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, don't you know this is Abu Bakr? He says, of course we know Abu Bakr. And everyone in the heavens are dressed like how Abu Bakr is dressed today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to ask, that is Abu Bakr happy with me in this condition also? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, and he said, Ana radin an Rabbi, Ana radin an Rabbi. I am happy with the condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept me in, even in this condition. This is what you call to be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it is. And Ramadan is going to teach us all of this, provided we program ourselves. Like how if you program the washing machine to do a quick rinse, it's only going to do a quick rinse. But if you program it to do a thorough rinse, a thorough wash, it'll do that. If we program ourselves to be good during the month, to fulfill a lot, to recite the Quran Sharif, to do what we have to, then as we discussed in the beginning, there's no limits to what can be achieved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all sorts of evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to value the month of Ramadan. May He remove the difficulties, the plight that the ummah is suffering in all different parts of the world. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.